is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, get your team ready for this season by shopping Dr. Dish's all-in sales event and receive an exclusive $3,000 off their top training solution, the CT Plus. Dr. Dish is here to help your players have no regrets, just results, and be all in this upcoming season with exclusive offers on their top shooting machines now during the Dr. Dish September All-In Sales Event. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Tom Heil, head men's basketball coach at Baldwin Wallace University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Suckle tonight.
And we're going to break down a meaningless Guardians game tonight, Mike.
No, we are not. Although I was lucky enough to be in attendance. My daughter picked up a Major League Baseball, not from a foul ball or a home run, but just from a kindly old gentleman that was working near the dugout. So thanks to him, whoever you may be, and got to see, I think, six home runs, and I'll never still be able to refer to them as the Guardians. So they'll always be the Indians to me. So I can't do it.
I will say I didn't watch any of the game, but that home run that LA De La Cruz hit,
that was a bomb.
That
was a bomb.
We had a big
LA De La Cruz fan in our area.
He had a
home as 7 year old kid. He had a homemade sign where he had drawn LA De La Cruz's body and then cut out his face out of like a magazine or the program or something and taped it onto the cartoon body that he had drawn. So it was a good sign.
I almost texted you when you said you were going to the game, and I said, at least you're going to get to watch LA De La Cruz. He's an exciting player. And then he, of course, had two home runs tonight. So
yeah, that was a blast. The second one he hit was a blast.
I mean, yeah.
So all right. Anyway,
they didn't tune in to the Hoopheads podcast.
Enough baseball talk.
Meaningless baseball game. So we're going to start, Mike, talking about Dame Lillard, and likely suitors have shifted. And I think, so I've heard Toronto. What was the other team, Mike? Toronto, what's the other team that is supposedly past Miami?
I mean, there's a few teams that are theoretically, quote, on the radar, but I mean, mostly it's been the Raptors that have been mentioned, which, again, I know we're about to talk about that, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't really get, if you're Toronto, I'm not sure what you're doing if you're acquiring Damian Lillard.
Counter. 2019. It didn't make sense they were going after Kawhi, did it?
It made a lot more sense.
I know Kawhi and Dame are not, I know they're not on the same, they're not 100% on the same level, but it didn't make a lot of sense that they were going after Kawhi in 2019, right?
Well, I guess here's what I would say, right? If a healthy Kawhi Leonard is a guy who is a top five player in the league, now he hasn't been that since that run in Toronto because he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but when he's been healthy, he's a top five player because of what he can do on both sides of the ball. And I think if you're a team and you trade for a top five player, then what you need to put around that guy to win a championship is, I'm not saying it's still not difficult, but it's much less daunting than when you're talking about Damian Lillard, who is not a guy that you plug him in on your team and you are automatically an NBA title contender, right? I mean, it's just they're not the same. As good as Dame is, it's been proven year after year after year after year. We've said it since we've been doing the podcast that in order to win a championship, you need one of the five best guys in the league. And if you don't have one and you win a title, that's pretty much an anomaly. And so in 2019, you can make the argument that, look, you trade for Kawhi Leonard. Sure, you may not have him for the long term, which that ended up being the case. But in the short term, while he was healthy enough to be the best player in the playoffs in that season, that was enough to get the Raptors a championship when Golden State suffered all those injuries with Klay going down and KD going down in the finals. And they had positioned themselves to be able to take advantage of that. Whereas I just think that no matter what's left on Toronto after you make this Dame Lillard trade, which I don't even know for sure what package the Trailblazers would be most interested in, but I don't think you have enough, even if you added Lillard and didn't subtract anybody from their current rotation. I don't think Damian Lillard plus Siakam, Scotty Barnes, OG Anunoby, to me, that's not a championship level team. And you're not going to be able to keep Anunoby and Siakam and Scotty Barnes if you're planning to trade for Damian Lillard. So I just don't see what Toronto is doing. It doesn't seem like, I guess you could say, hey, we're not going to bottom out and we're not going to trade everybody. So maybe let's double down and see what happens. Maybe you think that the East is weaker because of the turmoil in Milwaukee as a result of Giannis's comments, and maybe you don't believe in the Porzingis trade for the Celtics, and who knows what's going on with the Sixers and Cavs and Heat, or Cavs and Knicks aren't maybe ready to win, and the Heat's going to be worse this year, especially since they've been kind of banking on getting Lillard, and if you get them as the Raptors, I just don't know. Yeah. What's Toronto trying to do? What's Masai Ujiri? What's the goal here? It can't be, you can't think you have a championship team here.
I think he's trying to make a splash. I mean, they're not good, right? I mean, and like you said, I know they're going to have to give up a lot of pieces probably to make it happen. But I think it all comes back to this, Mike. All these things that are quote-unquote rumors of – I think it's all to try to leverage Miami again. I think this is all a bunch of hogwash, and he's going to end up in Miami. That's my prediction.
I think that's probably true, but even with that being said, Miami – it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't it feel like they've pretty much, and look, we don't know what's actually being said behind the scenes, right? We don't know what the conversations are between Masai Ujiri and Pat Riley in terms of what Miami has offered and what they haven't offered. But everything that's out there publicly would lead you to believe that they're pretty much putting everything that they have on the table, right? I mean, short of trading Jimmy Butler, that, or
supposedly Hero is off the table. I read something about that tonight, but the Hero is like the one piece they won't trade or something. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but
if you're Portland, look, I don't know if you necessarily covet Tyler Hero, especially with the players that you already have with Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe. I don't know if Hero is the right guy, and Anthony Simons, is Hero the right guy to bring in that you want? I don't think so, which is probably why this deal in Miami hasn't gotten done yet. But if you're trading with the Heat, what other marketable pieces do they have? I mean, you can get Jovic and you can get a couple of draft picks, but other than that, what personnel that Miami has do you really want? I mean, they're not trading you Jimmy Butler. They're not trading you Bam. So after that, who do you want? Strus is gone. Gabe Vincent's gone. Do you want Caleb Martin as the centerpiece of a deal? I just don't think, to me, Miami doesn't have enough anyway. And then if you're not going to take Tyler Hero, who again, even if he's not a perfect fit, he's still the best veteran real player that they have that they could trade to Portland. I just don't see, if you're Portland, to me, Miami doesn't have anything that gets me excited. On the other hand, I guess if you're Portland and you're looking at that Toronto deal, you're probably going to get either one of Siakam or Anunoby, who are both quality players. There was a lot of talk out there that they loved Grady Dick and that they were hoping to get their hands on him as part of this deal, which, okay, fine. But to me, I don't think either of those deals are hugely successful deals for Portland, especially when you look at, and again, they have to be comparing themselves to the Gobert trade or the Donovan Mitchell trade and what the Jazz and, you know, what the Jazz were able to get in those two deals, right? Lillard is probably more accomplished than either Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell. At the worst, he's at the same level as those two guys, and he's not going to get nearly the haul that those two guys brought to Utah. So it comes down to me, I think if you're Portland, you just can't worry about where Dame wants to go. And if there's another team other than Miami that's willing to take a risk and trade for him, if you're Portland, look, I hate to say what do you care, but what do you care if Dame's mad at you on his way out of town? If another team's willing to take the chance that he's going to report or he's not going to report, and that's the best deal, then to me, sorry, Dame, you just take the best deal.
Yeah. So where do you think this ends up? Do you think it ends up in Miami still?
It still feels like he's going to end up in Miami just because that's usually what happens with NBA superstars. They seem to somehow get their way, and who knows what has to happen. Maybe it's a multi-team deal where different things get moved around, and eventually you end up with a package that is good enough for Portland to accept it. I just don't know how realistic any of the other places. So you mentioned where else besides Toronto, that the four teams that were mentioned in the article that I saw on ESPN were the Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, and Bulls. With Milwaukee, I don't know what you really have to trade again that Portland would want as a young team. You don't really have much value, and I guess they have one draft pick that maybe you could say, well, if Giannis doesn't sign there, that pick would be valuable. But what players on the Bucks who are an older team, they don't really have any young guys. There's nobody that Portland would want. Maybe you'd want Jrue Holiday in a vacuum on your team, but you don't really want 32-year-old Jrue Holiday, who becomes extension eligible sometime in October. The Celtics, what do you trade? What do the Celtics have that you want that they're going to be willing to give up? They're a championship team. There's the Jaylen Brown, Damian Lillard trade, I guess, theoretically, could be okay because Jaylen Brown's still young enough, but does Boston really want to do that? I doubt it. The Sixers, are you going to swap Harden for Lillard? Why would Portland never in a million years want to bring James Harden onto their team? And then the Bulls, I guess if you're Chicago, you have some pieces that you could trade. Are there any pieces that Portland would want? Do they have an interest in Zach LaVine? Would they have an interest in bringing in DeMar DeRozan and re-signing him as a veteran leader? To me, that doesn't make sense. I just don't think there's a really great deal out there for Portland, and that's why Dame is still on the Trailblazers.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Anything else on that, Mike?
No, I think we covered it. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I mean, I'd still bet on Miami just because, as I said, feels like NBA superstars tend to get their way. And in one way or another, he's probably going to end up in Miami. I have no idea what that's going to look like and how many teams might have to be involved to grease the skids to make it happen. But I think betting, I'd say, certainly by the trade deadline, I'll be surprised if he's not on the Miami Heat.
All right. Well, speaking of betting, Mike, this is the gimmick that I came up with for tonight. All right. Next week, we'll do Eastern Conference over and unders, and the following week, we'll do Western Conference over and unders.
Okay.
Too early. Does that sound good? I mean,
that sounds good.
We're 3 weeks away from the season starting, essentially, at this point. So we are like three. Next week will be the first week of training camp, and then I think we have 3 weeks, and the 24th is the first game. So I think next week's Eastern Conference over-unders, the following week's Western Conference over-unders, and then awards, predictions, and championships
tiers,
and stuff.
Tiers, yeah, championship yeah. tiers.
So yep. I think that's the 3-week breakdown. So getting into that, I wanted us to – I I've got this up that we are not sponsored by DraftKings, but I've got DraftKings odds pulled up, and we're going to look at the seasonal awards, and I want you to try to predict the top five players in these, a few awards. I'm not going to sit here and like get into like sixth man of the year because I don't even understand how they figure those odds out. But who do you think the top five odds to get MVP this year, Mike? That's what I want you to – I want you to take a hazard a guess.
Right.
I'm starting you with the easy one, in my opinion.
Easiest one? Well, I think Jokic has to be number one.
Okay, Jokic is number one.
I think Giannis has got to be number two.
Giannis is not number two. Giannis is number three.
Okay. Embiid's got to be in the top five. I'm not that confident he's number two, but he's got to be in the top five.
Embiid is in the top five. I can't tell you where yet.
Tatum.
Tatum is also in the top five.
So I need one more guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. The last guy, MVP. And there's a lot of good choices out there. Donovan Mitchell.
Mitchell's not even in the top 10.
Not in the top 10. Interesting.
LeBron has higher odds than Donovan.
Wow. Luka.
Yeah, Luka's number two. Luka's number two.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking there. Sorry.
It's Jokic, Doncic, Antetokounmpo, Embiid, and the lone American on the list, Tatum.
Okay.
And then just outside that is Durant, is six.
Steph Durant Curry has is better seven. Odds than Booker.
Durant is six. Curry is seven. SGA is eight. Booker is nine. And LeBron is 10. And then Trae Young inexplicably is 11.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. There's no chance of that. There's no chance of Trae Young being the MVP. Hey, I can tell you that.
Hey, number 14. Your boy.
Harden?
This is 250.
Zion's number 14?
Yeah.
All right. Hey. It's more likely than Trae Young, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Trae Young's not winning an MVP anytime soon. Do you think Durant should have better odds than Booker? That to me doesn't make any sense. To me, if the Suns
That's a betting pick, Mike. That's a betting ploy,
I bet.
I guess, but still.
I don't know why you'd bet on Durant over Devin Booker. It seems crazy to me. All right. I whiffed on Luka though. That was an easy one.
Yeah. All right, Mike. This one's gonna be a little harder.
Okay.
Because I don't know how well you know the rookies.
All right.
Rookie of the year. Top five odds. One's a gimme. I mean, come on.
All right. So you start number one is obviously Wemby.
Okay.
I mean, I think Scoot's gotta be number two.
Scoot is number three.
I mean, Brandon Miller is not number two.
Nope, he's number four.
Okay. So number two has got to be, let's go with Amen Thompson.
He's number seven. Number two is a guy who was technically a rookie last year, but didn't play at all.
Oh, Chet. Okay.
Yeah, so Chet's number two. And then some guy named Cam Whitmore is number five.
Cam Whitmore, Houston Rockets, number 20. Fell through the draft to the Rockets, where there was speculation that something related to his character and his injury report caused him to fall. The Houston Rockets supposedly were considering selecting him at number five and ended up getting him at number 20. And he was MVP of the summer league. So I guess that makes sense if you're on the Rockets, but I just don't see the Rockets have so many young dudes that I don't see where Cam Whitmore is going to be the guy amongst all those young players in Houston to stand out. He might end up being a very good rookie. He might end up being on the all-rookie team. But for him to be rookie of the year, I don't see that.
Yeah.
Wemby's obviously going to get every chance. I mean, look.
As long as he's got to play enough games, though. That's the big thing, right?
Well,
he's
no, play enough because, games. No, with rookies, where did I hear this? With rookies, that 65-game limit does not apply? I don't remember if there's a lower limit or if the limit is just...
So does it not apply to just the Rookie of the Year award?
Correct. That's what I read or heard somewhere. I don't know that I've confirmed that, but I remember reading it or hearing it either on a pod or seeing it in some article. So,
okay. All right. All right. And so the other award, I mean, I'm not going to spend time. Like I can just read these ones to you. Most improved. Like there's no way you're going to like pull these guys out of your hat. So, I mean, unless you want to try, but
most improved. Well, does Kate Cunningham count?
Kate Cunningham is number 4. Good job. Okay.
All right. Who else is a guy that is coming back from injury or dysfunction? That could be the Ja.
No. Guy who got, the guy who got punched in the mouth.
Punched in the mouth.
By Draymond.
Oh, Jordan Poole.
Number 3.
So, is this most improved or comeback player of the year?
Most improved.
Okay, I'm trying to think in my head. So, Austin Reeves,
number 5.
Let's see who else would be a guy that is ready to potentially
over troubled water. Come on, Simon and Garfunkel.
I mean, I know the song. I'm just not equating
What word did I leave?
Water. I know you let it on water, so I'm trying to think.
No, I said
bridge. Like, Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges.
Not Miles. No.
Miles the other Bridges.
Bridges. Keep it. The other
Bridges. Mikal Bridges.
Yes. Okay. He's number 1.
Miles Bridges would be the comeback player of the year, right?
Mikal Bridges is number 1, Mike.
Okay.
And Tyrese Maxey was number 2.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Sixth man of the year, once again, I'll just go through these real quick. Emmanuel Quickly is number 1.
He was horrible against the Cavs in the playoffs.
Malcolm Brogdon is number 2. Norman Powell is injured. Number 3.
Okay.
Norman Powell. 4 is Malik Monk, and 5 is Bobby Portis. I don't like any of those picks. How about I liked Benedict Mathurin as the 9th best odds, plus 2,500. I like that one.
I like Malik Monk in that one.
Oh, yeah. Plus 1,500.
Guys who can score. Guys who typically can score on a theoretically good team. If Sacramento can repeat what they did last year, Monk seems like a good choice.
All right. So then the last one I've got here, Mike, is Defensive Player of the Year. There is a tie for the best odds.
So I'm guessing, let's just go with last year's standings, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Mobley.
Those are the two that are tied.
Not surprising. Dylan Brooks,
not even anywhere on the list here, Mike.
Not on the list. Mitchell Robinson?
Not on the list.
Well, the previous Defensive Player of the Year was Marcus Smart. Is he on the list?
Not on the list that I see here.
Chris Dunn.
Marcus Smart's way down. I just scrolled down.
Rudy Gobert.
Number 8.
Rudy's number 8.
Yeah.
Walker Kessler.
Well, Mike, you're thinking way too hard on this.
Mikal Bridges.
He's on the list. He's
Davis.
Anthony Davis is 5. But they're still missing 3 and 4, Mike. Number 3, your boy.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down.
You've said he's the best player in the NBA for the last, I don't know.
Giannis?
Yeah, Giannis is number 3.
Okay.
And number 4?
Embiid.
No, Embiid's 6. Embiid is 6. Right.
Okay.
Number 4 plays for Miami.
Bam.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. There you go. It's a lot of good defenders in the league.
Yeah, all right.
I threw out some names I thought would be close to the top of the top list.
So there's something hilarious. That 2, 3, 4, 5. The people who have the 12th and 13th best odds are Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Plus 2,000.
I
mean,
I guess what you're Draymond looking at Green there is
just behind them.
Yeah, Draymond should have been. He's behind them?
Yeah, plus 2,200.
That seems crazy.
The only people ahead of them, are Nick Claxton, Mikal Bridges, Brooke Lopez, OG Anunoby, Rudy Gobert, and everyone we already previously mentioned.
Okay. A lot of good defenders in the league. How about that? That's a pretty deep list when you really think about it.
Yeah, Nikola Vucevic is the highest odds on here. +15,000. You bet a buck, you win.
You mean he's the last guy listed on the, how deep does it go? How long is the list?
Well, it just has
Christoph. See the very last NBA player? See the worst defender in the league according to the odds?
No. They only do like the top like 30.
Okay.
Like LeBron's on here.
All right.
That's LeBron's on there because people will pick him and bet him.
Can I just cast my vote that LeBron is not going to be winning the Defensive Player of the Year? Can I come out definitively and say that?
I think you can.
Okay, good.
All right. So that's one of my gimmicks, Mike.
Okay.
Do you want to do my other gimmick, or do you want to talk about your thing?
No, let's
do
it.
Here we go. Okay. So I'm inspired. There's a podcast I listen to. It's about video games. Not that you care about it. Hence my video game shirts. And they at the end of every episode, they do 20 video game 20 questions. So I'm going to do right. NBA Hall of Famer 20 questions, Mike. Now I'm gonna stipulate this. I have a certain NBA reference page pulled up, so I'm gonna be looking at that if I need to do it. But it's gonna be someone that's played in our lifetime. I'm not gonna pull some old curmudgeon-y guy that I have no idea who he is.
Zelmo Beatty.
I'm not gonna pull some curmudgeon-y guy that I've never heard of before, or you've never heard of before. I'm gonna be when I do this, I'm gonna be like almost 100% certain that you've heard of this person. If I've heard of this person, I think that you've probably heard of the person.
Okay.
So 20 questions.
All right.
To narrow it down, you can answer any yes or no question. It has to be yes or no, though. You can't say Eastern Conference or Western Conference. You got to yes or no.
Got it.
All right.
Are you keeping track of how many questions I've asked?
Yeah, I'm going to pull this. Damon Hatfield's the host of the video of the podcast I listen to, and he holds his fingers up. And then when he gets to 10, he starts back over again. So I'm gonna steal this gimmick. So here we go.
All right. Is this player a guard?
No.
Is this player a forward?
Yes.
Does this player or did this player play primarily in the Eastern Conference?
Okay, hold on. Get my. I'm going to say the answer to that, did he primarily play in the Eastern Conference? I'm going to say no.
Okay. Is this player African American?
Yes.
Is this player Is this player Dominique Wilkins?
Oh, I should have tried. They're only allowed to guess one name. I didn't say that. I should have clarified.
I'm only allowed to guess one name.
But they only allowed it because that way you can't just guess like 15 different things.
I understand. So. Did this player retire before 1990?
No.
Did this player win at least one NBA championship?
No.
Did this player win an MVP?
Yes.
Did this player attend Auburn University?
Yes. Yes.
Is this player Charles Barkley?
You got it. Good job, Mike. Here you go. I started with the
right.
Is it, by the way, nice. So the only question I struggled with was splitting. He had 8 years in the Eastern Conference and 8 years in the Western Conference, Mike. So when you asked that question, it was really hard. It was really hard for me to answer that question because I couldn't legitimately answer it. Because if I, even though I gotcha. Said no, it was 50-50. So,
right, I understand. Yeah, I mean, well, when you answered it, you figure that the player played in both conferences, whether it was Correct. So, all right, I did pretty well.
Good job, Mike. 8 questions.
Thanks. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
So I started with an easy one. I was thinking, mate. There's a way you can totally gamify it a little bit, like figure it out and try to come up with as quickly as you can. So we'll see next week. I'll probably pull someone a little more obscure, but
no. That was a good game. Honestly, as I started it, I thought there's no way I'm ever going to get this. So I guess it just depends on what kinds of – you have to think of intelligent questions. So next week now I've got some questions already that I feel
and the other thing too is you have a pretty limited scope. I mean, yes, there's – and I'm always going to pull an NBA player. I'm not going to pull a coach. Okay, maybe there's a coach and a player. You know, that could situation could happen. But like when they do video game 20 questions, like there's a much wider array of games that it could be. And you have to really narrow it. Narrow it down, and their starting question always is, "Does the main character wear a hat?" Like that's the question they ask almost every time. Like, how's that going to help them?
It's just helpful? Funny,
anyways.
Miss Pac-Man,
she was asteroids. A
asteroids.
Listen to you. You got some games.
Dig Dug.
Dig Dug. Mario.
Galaga.
Hey, you know what Mario's original name was, Mike?
Luigi.
No, Jumpman.
Jumpman. Nice. Yeah. I like it. It's a good name.
And I don't want to completely resurrect an old segment, but I heard a really good dad joke. Can I share it with you really quickly?
Sure. I'm ready.
Why does the teacher go to the beach?
To collect some sand.
Do they want to test the waves?
Nice. There you go.
That's a good one, right?
I like it. That's a good one. Right up our alley. Hey, Hoopheads Nation. Whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams, or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? Practice space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, 3-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder, Vlad Moldovaniu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, Hoopheads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads. to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial. You want to do my little game here?
Yeah, we can do it. Go ahead.
All right. NBA survey. Yeah, we're going to do it quick. We're not going to get too in depth. And most of these, I think, will be fairly easy for you to answer. So there was an off-season survey. I believe this was the Tim Bontemps survey where he does the straw poll, but this is just getting people's opinions about different things. So first question, again, think of this as NBA experts are answering this question as opposed to maybe what your opinion might be. Not that your opinion is necessarily different from theirs, but just thinking about it from that voting standpoint. Who is the NBA's best player right now?
Uh, I'm going to say Giannis. Or Giannis, or Giannis
had two. Giannis had two votes.
Oh my
God! 15 Jokic? Voters, but there's 15 votes altogether.
So did Jokic get it then? They gave it to Jokic?
Yeah, Jokic 13 votes, Giannis 2 votes.
Okay.
All right, this category had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 votes. Or sorry, 6 people received votes. Who will be the NBA's best player in 5 years?
Whew. 5 years from now, best player? Zion probably didn't get a vote. Did Zion get a
Zion
vote?
Zion did not get a vote. Zion did not get a vote.
I mean,
I guess I'll say Luka. The guy who got Luka. The most votes is a guy who would be, what'd you say?
Luka,
yeah. Luka, 6 votes. Anthony Edwards, 3. Jokic, 2. Wemby, 2. Shea, 1. Tatum, 1.
Okay.
All right, next category. Who will be this year's MVP? 5 people received votes.
Okay. I'm gonna say Jokic, based
correct.
On
Jokic with 9, second in a tie, Giannis and Tatum each with 2, Devin Booker with 1, and one more guy received 1 vote, a guy near and dear to our heart.
LeBron.
Which is why when you asked me the question about who was going to win MVP, it was why Mitchell I selected got a vote. This guy. Mitchell got a vote.
It doesn't say who voted for him, right?
Does not say who voted for him. There's no – this is all anonymous voting, and there's no okay. charts or lists of anything. All right.
Okay.
Who will be the best rookie not named Victor Wembanyama in 5 years?
Oh, it's got to be Scoot, right?
Scoot with 11, and then each of the Thompson twins, Amen with 3 votes and Asur with 1 vote. Those are the only 3 guys to get votes. Next category. This is an interesting one. In 5 years, where will Wemby's game be at? In other words, what level of player do you think he will be? So here are the choices. All-Star, MVP caliber, All-NBA, or none of the above.
5
Which was the most popular
now.
Category. 5 years
I'm
from now.
I'm going to say none of the above, Mike.
None of the above receives 0 votes.
Really? Oh, wow.
So I'll let you re-guess. Again, the categories are All-Star, MVP caliber, All-NBA.
I'll go All-NBA then.
All-NBA received 2 votes. So you're down to either All-Star or MVP.
I mean, here would be my if they said who – they asked the question who was going to be the best player in 5 years, and no one voted for Victor Wembanyama. So he cannot be MVP caliber. He's got to be All-Star.
Correct. All-Star. 10 votes for All-Star. 3 votes for MVP caliber. I guess that's different from being – an MVP, but MVP caliber, and then 2 All-NBA votes.
Okay.
I'm not sure I agree with that, although if theoretically, right, if he is the greatest prospect since LeBron, then 5 years from now, when he's 23 years old, you would expect him to certainly be All-NBA without question, and probably knocking on the door, or at least beginning to knock on the door of being an MVP, if the hype is accurate, because guys who are –
I mean, LeBron didn't win an MVP till his 7th year, right?
Right, so that puts him at age 25. But certainly he was – I think people would gladly argue that he was getting to that MVP caliber. I guess it depends on how you define that category. But certainly
– it would be the Detroit series, right? That's
yeah, but certainly he was playing at an all-NBA level by the time he was 23 years old.
Yeah.
So – all right, next question. And again, this is just answering what do other people say? Where will Damian Lillard be at the start of the season? At the start of the season.
Portland.
Yes, 9 votes for Portland, 6 votes for Miami, no votes for anyone else, interestingly enough. So all of our discussion of where else he might be going, these experts seem to think that there really is nowhere else. He's either going to be in Portland or Miami. Okay, next question. Where will James Harden be at the start of the season?
Philly.
Philly. 13 votes for the Sixers, 2 votes for the LA Clippers, which basically anybody who's been listening to us, that's pretty much what we've said. There doesn't seem to be any other home for Harden. And to be honest, I'm surprised that the Clippers would want him in any way, shape, or form. All right, next question. I don't think that – which team had the best and worst off seasons? I don't think we want to go into that. I'll just kind of tell you those. The Spurs got 4 votes for the best off season. Clearly, getting Wemby pushes them over the top. And then also receiving votes were the Celtics, Warriors, Lakers, Bucks, Grizzlies, and Suns. I'm not sure how the Grizzlies had the best off season with Ja being out for 25 games and I guess – Dylan Brooks, addition by subtraction, but whatever. Worst offseason, the Raptors, 5 votes. So maybe Masai Ujiri is just trying to get the stink of the offseason off him by trading for Lillard. But the Raptors with 5 votes. Then you had Sixers, Heat, Bulls, Rockets, Suns, Wizards, all received votes. All right, I'm going to give you the 3, this next question, I'll give you the 3 that are the 3 answers, and then you can tell me which one you think was voted the most surprising move of the offseason. The signings of the by the Houston Rockets, meaning Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks, sorry, CP3 to the Warriors, or the Smart Porzingis trade?
CP3 to the Warriors.
That was 2nd with 4 votes.
So it's got to be the Rockets signings then.
That was tied with CP3 to the Warriors with 4 votes. The Smart Porzingis trade viewed as the most surprising move of the offseason. A lot of the quotes in here was that, you know, Boston has been so close knocking on the door. Do they really want to mess things up and do something different? So, all right. And then let's end here, which will give us sort of a – this will be a good place to end the – basketball content on the podcast. So who won the East, the West, and the title? So in the East, there were 2 teams that received votes. In the West, there were 3 teams that received votes. So in the East, who are the 2 teams and which team got the most votes?
I'm going to say Milwaukee and Boston.
That's correct. Which team got more votes?
I'm going to say Milwaukee got more votes.
Nope. Boston 9, Milwaukee 6. I don't think you can really make a coherent case for anybody besides those 2 teams. I think with the turmoil in Philly and then nobody else, I don't think is, again, if all the teams are healthy, I don't think the Cavs or Knicks or even the Heat are on the level of these 2 teams. The West.
Trailblazers? I'm joking.
Three teams received votes. Warriors. In the West.
Warriors. Correct. Got a vote.
Yep.
The Lakers got a vote for sure.
Nope.
Someone,
nope.
No one?
Nope.
No one voted?
Nope.
Okay, the Suns?
Nope. Suns.
And the Nuggets.
The Nuggets. Which one of those got the most?
Probably the Suns.
No.
Nuggets?
Nuggets, 10. 10 for the Nuggets, 3 Phoenix, 2 Golden State. All right, and then 4 teams got votes as potential NBA champions.
Well, the 2 in the Eastern Conference, Boston, Milwaukee.
Correct.
I would guess the Warriors did not get a vote, so then it would be
that's
the
correct.
Other 2.
So Denver and Phoenix, right? Which team do you think got the most votes?
Denver, probably.
No, Boston was 6, Denver with 5. Milwaukee with 2, Phoenix with 2. So,
what is all this Boston love?
I don't know. Look, we've talked about it a bunch of times. To me, Boston's been so close that you could say, hey, they're just about to turn the corner and Tatum and Brown are just getting to their prime in terms of the main most important years of their prime. I look at it the other way. Like they've been there. They've been so close. I just think that team, those 2 guys, they're just missing something. To me, Tatum is a step below. He's just a step below a guy who can put a team on his back and lead them to an NBA championship. I think he's close, but to this point, I haven't seen it. I just don't know that he's going to take that last step. And to me, that team is flawed. And it's flawed not because they had to give up Smart to get Porzingis. It's not flawed. It's flawed because Tatum and Brown, I just don't think are good enough as your number one option to beat the very, very best teams and players in a championship series, whether that be in the Eastern Conference Finals or whether that be in the NBA Finals. I just don't think Boston is that team, to me anyway. So that was the last question. So I think that's a good place to wrap, because that will lead us into next week when we'll, as Jason said earlier, we'll talk over-unders for, are we starting with the East, you said?
Yeah, I think we start with the East.
All right, so next week we'll do Eastern Conference over-unders, then we'll go Western Conference over-unders.
That'll be the primary focus. And Michael, okay. Michael put it all in his paper, and then he'll put it in his folder.
Yep, I got the folder. The folder's sitting right here next to me.
Perfect.
So I have all our things for this season. I have them all dated. So we will put everything there so that we can go back, and if we ever need to reference it to make fun of ourselves or make fun of one another, we will have that at our disposal. So,
all right. So then there's one other thing we need to talk about, the Browns, Mike.
Where do you want to start? Where do you want to start with the Browns, on the offense or the defense?
Dude, that defense is just ridiculous. I mean, just the fewest first downs that teams ever allowed in the first three games. I mean,
I actually want the other team to have the ball.
The defense. I mean,
I'm being serious. It's so much more fun to. It's so fun to watch that defense. I mean, they're just dominating. I mean, they give you nothing.
It'll be interesting when they play a really good offensive team, because they have not played a good offensive team, and I don't even know that Baltimore fits that criteria.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
They just lost. I mean, you know.
Well, they have a bunch of offensive linemen out, and of course Dobbins is out for the season. They're running back, so yeah, they're definitely diminished.
Look at you knowing all your NFL, Mike. Mike, look at you knowing all your NFL.
Hey, I pay attention to stuff. Don't ask me about baseball.
You do listen to Simmons every week, right? You listen to the Simmons
pod. I do. So, don't sleep on my baseball knowledge, man. I didn't know one guy. I did know. I might have been able to get Joey Votto, although he could tell me that Joey Votto is 40 years old, or you could tell me he's 24 years old. I would have no idea.
Well, he's retiring. I think he's retiring at the end of this
year. But I didn't know any other guys on the Reds going into tonight's game, despite the Ellie De La Cruz love that we gave at the top of the podcast. I had never heard of him before tonight. So
really, Mike, the game in 3 weeks is going to be the game playing San Francisco. That's like,
well, you still got, look, it's still the Browns, man. You still got to win games between now and then. I mean, that game could be meaningless.
We don't have a game the following week. We have Baltimore this week, then we have the bye week. So,
right, but let's put it this way. If you lose to Baltimore and you're 1-2 in the division, the excitement's going to be extremely tempered. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and the other thing too is we will have – by week six, Mike, we will have played five games and four of them will have been home. So that means the rest of the way, I think this year we only have eight home games, right? 17.
I mean, you got to believe – yeah, look. You got to believe in the defense. I mean, that defense, guys aren't open. Every time the quarterback drops back, they're either getting hit or they're pressured. It just feels like these teams have nowhere to go. We smothered the run, and we've given up. I mean, the only yardage we've given up and first downs we've given up are sort of like fluke long plays that just happen. No team is moving the ball with any type of regularity. There's been no long 10 or 12 play drives. I mean, we're just shutting things down. I guess every once in a while somebody's broke something, but for the most part, teams just can't put together sustained drives because there's just so much pressure. And then the secondary has been on point, and I just feel like they're flying all over the field. Looks like there's 13 guys on the field.
Yeah. So I want to point this out, Mike. I know we said that if they lose this week, like, it's not looking good for the Browns. Okay. After San Francisco, this is our schedule, Mike. I don't want to be like a schedule warrior here. But after watching the first 3 weeks in the NFL, after San Francisco, we play Indianapolis.
Okay, so Seattle. Let's just call it win, 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 loss, whatever. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Baltimore is a home this week. It's got to be a win.
You have to win that game.
Okay, the following week, San Francisco at home. I'm going to say loss, but we could win that game. But I'm going to say loss.
Okay, that's
fair. The best two defenses in the NFL going against each other. Okay, I'm going to say
I can see us winning that game only because, look, Brock Purdy, which could be good or bad. But I think every quarterback, unless you are a super elite quarterback, you're going to struggle against this Browns team. Now, San Francisco has enough other weapons that maybe Purdy doesn't have to do anything special, which he probably doesn't week to week. But the Browns is going to make it really hard on any team to score. The question will be, can the Browns offense, which we'll talk about in a second, can they score at all against San Francisco?
All right. Okay. Then after that, at Indianapolis.
Win.
That's a win. Indy's terrible. I know they're 2-1, but they got a rookie quarterback. He's going to get destroyed.
He's been out with a concussion, but
yeah, I'm saying. But by the time they get, you know,
yeah, he'll probably be back.
At Seattle, I don't like
Cavs or Browns on the West Coast. I don't feel good about that one.
Okay,
Seattle's home not against, good, but
it's a 50-50 game. I'm going to just mark it as a loss, Mark. Let's just mark it. Home against the Cardinals, you better win that game. I know they just beat Dallas, but
it's a win.
Okay, then you're at Baltimore. That's probably a loss.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're home against Pittsburgh, and they're going to win that game.
You got to win that game. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then they're at Denver. Denver is terrible. They just gave up 70 points to Miami.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, I saw, you know, I was kind of paying attention to the scores through the first half, and then I didn't double check back on that game. But when I saw they had 70, I was like, oh my God, it's ridiculous.
Okay. Then they're after Denver, they're at the Rams. There'll be definitely more Browns fans at the Rams game than the Rams fans.
That should be a win.
Okay. Then they're home. Are they home or are they away for this game? Yeah. They're home for the Jaguars. That should be a win.
Win.
Then they play. The next three games are the Bears, the Texans, and the Jets.
That should be 3-0. You got to go 3-0 in those three games. You have.
And then the last game is the Bengals, to be determined on the timing of that. So right. I'm just looking.
You
got to
think the Bengals are going to be in the tank.
So at that point, by the way, going by our strategy here, we're saying that they're going to win 7 in a row from the Steelers to the Jets because we said they would win all those games. Okay, so right. that gets us to 7 wins, 8, 9. That has us 10. That has us at 12 wins, Mike. Now, obviously, they're not getting to 12 wins. They're not getting to 12 wins.
You would have
wins.
To think they're not getting to 12 wins. But what is it going to take to make the playoffs? 10?
10. If they don't get to the playoffs, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yes, I agree. You're going to have major injuries on the defensive side of the ball, I think, for this team not to make the playoffs. I would have to guess.
I'd really like them to get to 11 wins, Mike.
That'd be great.
It'll be really good for me.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Deshaun, that was the first time that he looked like a real quarterback. And
he must have listened to the podcast and you said he was mediocre at best last week.
Well, he's been mediocre at best. I mean, there has been no signs whatsoever up until this game.
Wait, when you saw him throw the backwards pass, Mike, what did you think?
That was not good. But I look at that and I don't say – to me, that's not indicative of is the guy a good quarterback. Like, everybody does dumb stuff.
Do you think every once in a while? I think it's my theory. You ready for my theory on that one?
Okay.
I think that he when he got hit, he thought he was facing forward when he threw the ball. He would never admit it, but I bet you
I think everybody just sometimes you just freeze up and do something dumb that in the moment, whatever, you're just not thinking. I don't hold that play against him in any way, shape, or form. Look, I'll take one play like that a game if you're going to go 27 for 33 and put the ball right where it has to be over and over again and make good decisions. And look, I don't know how good Tennessee's defense is.
He got screwed on the one. On the Cooper one, he should have had another touchdown. That was terrible.
Or at least that was going to be, you know, there's going to be another 25 yards of yardage at the very worst. And maybe Cooper gets tackled down by the goal line.
Single-handedly the worst call of the weekend.
There's been a lot of bad calls. I feel like the NFL, there's a lot of officiating screw-ups, but that is what it is. I guess you just have to move on. But, yeah, that was the first time Watson, you could see, like, if he's going to be that guy, Browns are going to be tough to beat because that defense, if they stay healthy, you're not scoring 28 points a game against that Browns defense. I mean, you're going to be lucky to put up 20 against the Browns defense. And if the offense does anything and Watson is anywhere near what he was on Sunday, if that's the way he's trending, then this team's going to be really, really hard to beat, because defensively, you're just not going to give up many points. And offensively, I feel like if Watson is accurate, we have enough good skill position players, despite the loss of Nick Chubb, that we can still be productive. And if Watson is accurate, now you can use that short passing game kind of to supplement what you might do in the run game. And I think the Ford and Kareem Hunt platoon, look, it doesn't make up for Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was far and away.
When you saw Kareem Hunt go airborne, what was your initial thought on that one run, Mike?
Deja vu, right? That's what the guy loves to do. He loves to just hurdle people. I wonder if they set up hurdles for him in practice just so he can practice that.
Well, here's my thing. I think they need to tell him to not do that. They can't have him get hurt. And I know he's not our savior here.
Man, running backs are a dime a dozen, man. You're just going to pick up somebody off the practice squad that'll be able to do the same thing.
Okay.
I mean, unless you have a super elite guy like Chubb, I just don't think – does it matter if they give the ball to Ford or they give it to Hunt or they give it to some other dude? I mean, it feels like the average NBA or NFL running back, it's almost like it's just a – whatever, it's just an avatar. This guy's an NFL running back, and every guy is capable of doing this. And there's very few guys who are capable of doing more than just this. And so I feel like they could go out and get another guy who can do this and whatever.
Okay,
we obviously are going to miss Chubb, but Watson's the key to the offense. Watson, if he's as good as he was on Sunday, this team's not going to lose very many games.
So in the AFC, let's just talk AFC teams.
Okay.
What AFC teams would you put ahead of the Browns right now? If you were to,
I got to get to the NFL so I can at least speak semi-intelligently about this. Okay. And look,
do you want me to just say
standard.
My three team? Can I say my three teams? And then.
Yeah, you're welcome to.
Miami Dolphins are a team I'm afraid of. The Kansas City Chiefs are a team that I will say that I'm afraid of. They've looked way better.
You're saying you're afraid of them, or there are teams that you think are all right? I get it. Both of those teams are good teams. I would agree.
And then Buffalo. They're both those three teams are the three teams that I would say are ahead of the Browns right now in my eyes. There's no one else in the AFC that I'm afraid of. I know we lost.
I would agree. Okay, so look, in the East, Patriots and Jets are both terrible. In our division, the Steelers are 2-1, but look, without the fluke touchdowns from the Steelers defense, and the Steelers aren't very good. I'm not sure how good the Ravens are either. I guess we'll find out on Sunday whether or not they're good or not, and whether the Browns can kind of get over the hump and get to 2-1 in the division. But yeah, I'm not afraid of the Ravens or Steelers. I don't feel like those teams, maybe they're equal to us, and because of our history with them, maybe they're better because they just have our number. But I don't think as a football team on paper, I don't think they're better. Nobody in the AFC South is better than the Browns. And out West, the Raiders, Chargers, Broncos. Yeah, no. I mean, I think, yeah, as it stacks up right now, I would say the Browns are the fourth best team at no worse than the fifth. Maybe you could make the case that Baltimore's better if they beat us on Sunday, but look, the Browns should make the playoffs. The Browns should definitely make the playoffs. There's no question.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anything else, Mike? We
set That's our it, piece man. Let's the wrap Browns. It.
We'll wrap it. 12, so next 28, week, once 12. Again, next week, Eastern Conference, over-unders. We'll do it alphabetically, Mike. We'll do it alphabetically. I'll probably use DraftKings again. I'll use the DraftKings lines.
Sounds good. And we got to do that, the win total game. I forget exactly how that worked. You know what I'm talking about? We did it last year. I got to remember exactly what the format was, where you have to tell where we trade teams, and you're trying to get the maximum number between wins and losses. You're trying to get the highest number. Competition between me and you. You can either take a team and their wins, or you can take a team and their losses.
I don't remember doing that at all, Mike.
You don't remember doing that? So if you thought the Nuggets were going to win 68 games, you could take the Nuggets. Or if you thought that the Wizards were going to win.
Are you sure we did this?
Or you thought the Wizards were going to lose, you know, 70 games. You thought they were going 10 and 72. You could take the Wizards losses and then add up the totals and see what happens.
I don't remember doing this. Like,
all right.
I think we stole
that one from Simmons too. So anyway, all right, let's leave it there. Next week, Eastern Conference over-unders. Following week, Western Conference over-unders. Following week, season preview, championship tiers, awards, all that kind of stuff. So we are on our way to actual real NBA content and not just gimmicks. And who knows, maybe we'll have a Dame or a Harden trade in the meantime. So on that note, we will leave it there.
Well, and then Mike,
continue to check out
what Mike. We're like a year ago. We got Donovan, right? Basically, at this point, right? Was it beginning of September?
Late into it? I guess I was at school. I know I was back at school because I remember when you called me, I was walking in my car.
I was at cross country practice, and you said what?
Yeah. We haven't won a playoff series with Donovan Mitchell yet, so I'm not sure that my initial
reaction yet has been too bad. So it was September 1st, so we'll listen to this thing.
Right. So it was a little while ago. Yeah, I didn't think it was quite this late, but nonetheless, I'm glad Donovan's here. I hope that the Cavs have a great season. More importantly, I hope they have some playoff success. And speaking of the Cavs, coming up on, I guess, Thursday, we have Andrew Olson, the Cavs shooting coach, will be the next episode that comes out after this one on Thursday night/Friday morning. So be on the lookout for Cavs shooting coach Andrew Olson. All right, on that note, let's leave it there. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.